podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Jay here from Stretford Paddock. This is The Brew, and joining me today, we've got two very special guests. We've got Jamie Jackson from The Guardian. How are we doing?
Never been better.
Yeah, it's been a little while since I've had you on the channel, isn't it? I think when was the last time? Can you remember? In lockdown, I think.
Yeah, it's been a little while. I've, been waiting for the call. But at last, I'm back.
Yes. Well, thanks for coming on, and we'll be chatting to you a little bit about what's been going on. You've been at the press conference today.
We'll
be talking about that. Also, we've got Angelina Kelly from TalkSport Edge.
Yes.
How are we doing?
I'm all good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Not too bad. I'm in that sort of
pre-derby.
Still hopeful, letting my heart rule my head. Pre-derby, optimistic. We're not going to get battered phase, which is probably just going to end in tears, as it invariably does. Get involved in the comments, get involved in the chat. Let us know if you've got any questions for Jay or for Angelina or anything you want to talk about. We usually don't have a topic on this show, on this video. It's usually me and Howson just waffling about the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup final or our favourite Oasis song or whatever. But we might have a little bit of a topic today because we are going to talk about Ralf Rangnick and about his press conference. Now, obviously, he covered a lot of topics, but one of the main sort of comments he made that a lot of people have picked up on, Jay, is the Cavani point that Edinson Cavani could be available for the derby.
I think what he said was, as it stands now, he should be in the squad. I've got another couple of training sessions. They kind of need him because, you've got Ronaldo.
Yeah.
It's not his fault, but he's 37, could do with a break. There's no Martial, there's no Greenwood for whatever reason there. And then the other option, of course, is Rashford. And he actually mentioned that, in the sort of same sort of breath or context that maybe he is someone who can... Well, he actually said either wide or centrally. Now, he has played there. He played there for quite a while, didn't he, for United at one stage? Yeah. And I think that's quite a good option if you want to give Ronaldo a break. But yeah, Cavani is, at the moment going to be back in the squad. I don't think he'll start. You never know in football. Mm. But yeah, they could do with him. I mean, I think I'm right in saying that he scored about 9 or 10 in 10 of the last games of last season. He was like the star player for you, really, wasn't he? Yeah. Mm. There was a game, the first one where you had fans back in, loads of fans. Was it against Fulham?
Yeah. Fulham is goal of the season,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
He won for that. So that one ended in a draw.
So I think that's pretty... useful.
It's weird with Cavani because Ange, the sort of he's become a bit of a cult hero.
Yeah.
But I feel like the last few months, especially the last few weeks, opinions are shifting a little bit from what a few United fans are speaking to, where we feel like he's not, or some fans feel like he's ruling himself out of games where maybe he could play, maybe his heart's not in it. Mm. I don't know. There seems to be this feeling that. He seems to have lost a little bit of his luster that he had.
Maybe it's a little bit of a PSG thing, getting injured around your birthday or someone else's birthday. I know Neymar's known for it as well, isn't he?
But has Cavani got a sister we don't know about?
Yeah, maybe it's a birthday. Yeah, that one. No, I guess it is frustrating because at the end of the day, you've got a footballer at your club that's a talented player and you want to see him playing. You want to see him scoring goals. So I understand why fans are frustrated. I don't know what the issue is with injuries. I am no doctor, physiotherapist. I'm not getting involved in that argument. But, you can understand why people are annoyed. And it doesn't... I mean, do you honestly think that he's, going to sleep with, Man United bedding on, like, I'm living the dream at Old Trafford?
Yeah,
of course he's not. He's probably, there's a lot of rumours about him going to Spain in the summer already.
Yeah.
So I think it's safe to say that his heart probably isn't in it as much as somebody like a Marcus Rashford, for example, that's, risen through the ranks and he's Man United through and through. But I don't think that's not always, a bad thing because you can't expect every single player to be like, totally obsessed with Man United. It's a job that they've got to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, of course, you'd love everyone to love United as much as the fans do, but realistically, you're not going to get that every time, are you?
No, I get where you're coming from. Jay, what do you make of it with the injury situation? Because you're obviously in the press as you've been there, from before Ollie. But one thing I picked up that both Ollie and Rangnick both said, and I might be wrong on this, you can correct me, is they always seem to say not... I always get the impression it's not he's injured, it's he's told us he's injured.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems that wording is very selective, if that makes sense.
What I will mention, and maybe it came out awkwardly, but do you remember, was it last international break? He asked for two more days at home, Cavani, with his family in Uruguay. And, Rangnick said, well, I granted him it because he wouldn't have played anyway because of the jet lag. And I get that. But if you try to build like a sort of team or a squad... feeling, spirit, ethos, together. I don't know, I would have had him back. Mm. You know, it just didn't go down well. Whatever the reason, you know, maybe there was a perfectly, or that maybe that is a legitimate reason. You know, I don't know what people think. But for me, my go-to is, would Ferguson have allowed that? Yeah. Now, you could sort of say, well, that's 10 years ago. But, you know, Ferguson was a genius and he knew what he was doing about, you know, building team spirit. And I thought that was a little, and that's basically the latest example of what you're saying. The managers have always said, well, he's come to me and said, I don't feel. And then they'll say something like, well, he knows his body well enough, or he's, you know, he's experienced enough words, I'll take that. And I think that's why he has lost a little bit of his luster, which is a shame, because he's a cracking player. And, you know, maybe now he'll come in and, I mean, you know, looking at it more from his point of view, he was basically convinced to stay in the summer. And then they bring in Ronaldo, which, you know, it's a great sign, and people may think he was. But, you know, so if you're Cavani, you must be thinking, or you may be thinking, thanks a lot for that. You know what I mean? You've convinced me to stay. Yeah. Now look at you.
Brought in another OAP I've got to compete with.
Yeah, who won't be dropped and who doesn't like getting subbed, let alone being dropped. With that though, Jay, do you think that it's like we should have expected that? I mean, I always look at Cavani and I remember when we were first linked with him and his record is phenomenal, his goal scoring record, but he was a free agent for a reason. Yeah, sure. We knew his injury issues. Yeah. We knew this was a player who's, at the time we signed him, I think it was 33, 34. So coming into the Premier League, which you could argue is the toughest league in the world in terms of the amount of games you play and the sort of the intensity of those games. So is it almost like, well, what did you expect? Does that come into it?
100%. And that, for me, you know, they had this sort of like, Woodward termed it a cultural reboot where United were going to play a certain United way and they're going to buy players who fit into that. Fernandes is a good example. Cavani would fit into that if you've got, let's say, Harry Kane, or if you've got Aguero at his peak already here. Then it doesn't matter, then it's not. But, you know, we're discussing this now because basically Ronaldo's 37, Cavani's 35, and who else have you got who's like a proper established centre-forward? You know what I mean? Martial hasn't done it. And this is part of the problem. I think Cavani's a great sort of squad player, but if you're talking about relying on him, obviously the proof shows that you haven't been able to because he's been injured all the time.
He was never going to be the star, was he?
Well, as in not consistently, as no. He can't stay fit.
Star.
You know what I mean? So, you know, the transfer thing, I mean, it's a little bit going over old ground. I know we're trying to be positive here, but I still... I think Ronaldo was the wrong signing in the summer. Well, put it another way, if you're going to get Ronaldo, you had to get Declan Rice or someone else like as good as that, N'Golo Kanté, whoever it might be, you know, because that was the problem for me, the midfield, you know, and it still is.
Yeah, there's a few comments. People sort of, great to see you guys on the channel. John Shin in the chat as well. Great to see John as well. Someone was asking you, Jay, about Conte. I've got a question for JJ. What does he think of Conte as the next manager?
Well, I was disappointed for United that they turned him down, but also the reason why it was said to me why they turned Conte down at the time, because he wanted to come, which was, he was too... basically too meticulous was basically what they were saying. He's too much of attention to detail. He wouldn't have suited the squad.
Why would you want a meticulous manager?
We don't want
manager?
Details. So, things different.
So there's two things there. I think they missed an opportunity, and everyone can say, look what's going on at Spurs, and I get that, but Spurs is a slightly different club. I don't think that
at Inter.
Well, and Chelsea when he won it in his first... But the second part of that is, why turn down any manager if you think he's... Because what they were saying was the squad they have at the moment doesn't fit that manager. And, they try to do the right thing at the club. I don't want to be too critical of the club. But they're getting paid a heck of a lot of money, you know, basically subsidised by fans, really, you know, going to the games, and et cetera. So, they should be doing the job better, I would say. And that for me, was disappointing. I thought they missed an opportunity. Listen, it might have backfired, but the point for me was, you know, he would go in there and he would have shaken it up. So, I don't think he's an option now, you know, even if it goes, you know, I won't swear, but, you know, the wrong way.
You can if you want.
The wrong way at Spurs. Yeah. From what I hear at the club, it is still Ten Hag and Pochettino, the sort of top two. But I thought there was an opportunity missed there.
Mm. What did you think of Conte potentially coming to United? I looks like Jay saying that the moment's passed, but would you have had him? Did you want him?
100%. And like you say, he gives off those meticulous kind of vibes. And I also feel like he commands a lot of respect as well, which is, I think, a massive thing. You know, some of the names that we do have in our squad. For me personally, over somebody like Pochettino, 1,000,000%. Over Ten Hag, 1,000,000%. I'm personally of the opinion I would prefer Ten Hag over Pochettino.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Just because somebody made a really good point to me, actually, a friend of mine, that when you watched that Champions League final against Liverpool, like, that Tottenham team was playing scared. Like, I don't know. I just didn't like the way that, you know, like, that is your opportunity. Yeah, it's do or die. 100%. I want to see you guys throwing yourselves down on the sword. And I didn't really get that. And I also, I mean, I'm not very clued up on what goes on at Paris Saint-Germain, but I know that obviously things aren't as perfect as they should be looking at that team. I don't know how much respect he commands from some of those massive, massive names.
He's
but
basically won nothing.
I don't think.
And that's the French Cup last season. They won the French Cup, and they're going to probably win the league this year, though. They're not doing that great. But that's not, isn't, you know, Ten Hag, I agree, if you have to pick out those two, but I still think.
Neither of them are 100% I'm happy with.
And this is why I thought, if you know, Conte comes into Chelsea, wins it in his first season, it's not easy. And he ripped up the way they played in the September. Yeah, they had the guts to do that. You know, they won the FA Cup. Okay, you know, he left, but then he's won the league. I don't know. I just
as long as he
like...
didn't bring Lukaku with him, I would have been more than happy.
Get involved in the chat and the comments and hit that like button as well if you're not hitting that like. Before we get on to the next point, we've got a word from our sponsor. Spring has sprung and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning in your pants. Yes, you can get your winter bush looking ready for springtime. And Manscaped have got you covered. And you can also get free shipping and 20% off. There's a link in the description. Because let's have it right. We all want to look our best as the winter months end and the spring ones begun, don't we? Or begin even. We want to look nice. We want to look good for our lady friend or our male friend, whoever it is, just for ourselves when we look at ourselves in the mirror and go, what's going on down there, man? What's all that about? We want to sort it out, don't we? And thankfully, with Manscaped, you can, because you've got the Lawnmower 4.0. Yes, that's the sort of technology we're talking about. None of your 3.0 nonsense. We're on a 4.0. We've got your Weed Whacker for your nose and hair trimmer. Yes, I am at that age where I do need to trim my older nasal hairs. And we've also got the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. You've got your anti-chafing boxes. You've got your little bag there so you can come off the coach like you're one of the players, give a little thumbs up to the cameras, or maybe just get, you know, get your missus or your kids to line up and film you like you are a footballer, if that's the kind of thing you're into. Not that I am. Because let's face facts, we've all met someone where we've gone, look at the nose hair on him. Hey, look at him. Look at the air coming out of his ears. Look at the air coming out of his pants. Jesus, Weps, what's going on there? Needs to sort that out. Don't forget as well, there's more. There's actually more. If you purchase now, you don't get one free gift. You get two free gifts. So make sure you purchase now to get you two free gifts. Your balls will thank you. So click in the link in the description for 20% off and free shipping. If you can have shipping, you want it to be free, and it is. Make sure you click in the link in the description. Thank you for those messages there. I have got other clothes. I recorded that.
No, you don't. Why are you lying?
I think I just live
You've
in
got 10 of those.
I live in this hoodie. we were talking about Edinson Cavani, Antonio Conte as well, the next manager or who that may be. I just want to move it on slightly because in the press conference today, Ralph Rangnick was also talking about Marcus Rashford. He said on Rashford, he said there are a few things that have happened in the last few months that could not have been foreseen. Marcus has got everything for a modern striker, and I will put all my energy into helping take the same pathway as everyone in the last few months. Jay, you were there when he was saying that. Am I right in that? I'm missing something.
Yeah, no.
There?
And this is what I mentioned before, because he brought him into the conversation about Cavani when he was asked about. Right. But basically, the question was something like, should you not be is it a problem, or shows how kind of bad United are that you're relying on 37-year-old Ronaldo and a Cavani who's not fit? And then he himself brought Rashford into the conversation about possibly playing down the front. Now, I agree with what he's saying. He has got talent in abundance. And when he's good, he's brilliant, right? It's like, you're like, oh, wow, this is how good he can be. It's the old thing, it's consistency. You know, if he just needs to turn it on, you know, for basically, you know, more or less every match, you know, all the best ones do. And he's had a couple of really good seasons, don't get me wrong, but he's never had like a... Wow.
Mind-blowing.
This was what I was hoping this season.
Yes.
That,
well, that's what he said, because he'd had his shoulder up.
Yeah, we thought he was good to go, yeah.
It was 22 goals two seasons ago, 21 goals last season, loads of assists, some big goals as well. Yeah. You know, you're looking at Paris a few times, he'd scored a few goals against, he scored against the Scousers, he scored in, you know, in big games as well, like, you know, sort of the last minute winner against Wolves, which I think it was against Wolves, wasn't it, where we needed a win and he got it. And you're thinking, okay, 24, 25, a lot of top strikers, attackers.
Definitely.
You look at the likes of Kane, Shearer, players like that. They go to another level sometimes in the mid-20s.
I still think he can do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah.
Built like a footballer. You know, he's not like a, you know, he just looks like, I don't know, like an athlete. And he's really, really fast. blah, 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 blah. It just needs... But maybe he'll still do it. I don't know how old Salah was when he came back to Liverpool. But, you know, yeah. That's a good example.
I mean, you know, some of us... I know Jamie Vardy's a bit of an outlier. But he's a rarity. But I don't think he played in the Premier League. No. So he was like 27 or something. And obviously he's done all sorts there. What have you made of Marcus Rashford this season, Andrew? Because, you know, we all love him. But it's not just the case of he's not quite there. It's like, for me, and I don't take any sort of comfort in saying this or pleasure in saying it, sorry, but I think some of his worst games I've ever seen him play have been in the last sort of few weeks. It's really worrying for me as a fan to see him sort of going through it like he is.
Yeah, I think there's been a few watch-alongs that I've been down here with you guys, and you're kind of watching and just thinking, get him off the pitch. Like, it's sad. One thing I will say is that it really irritates me when people use the argument of, oh, we need to stop worrying about feeding kids and all that stuff. It annoys me because it's like, that has got nothing to do with what he's doing on the pitch.
If anything, that's going to make him play better because he feels good about himself for being a nice guy.
Yeah, and it's just it's a completely different situation. It's like, so many footballers give to charities and do different things. They're maybe not highlighted as much for it, but why does he have to come under criticism for in his spare time doing something good? And that's the reason why he's bad at football at the minute. It really
it doesn't make any sense, the idea that, for me, I've always had this point of like, I don't think, it's not like he's, you know,
it's not like he's not showing up at training because he's protesting at number 10 or something. Out, do you know what I mean?
He can't play the first half. He's out delivering fair share.
Yeah, he's food handing out free meals.
So we're going to have to
wait. He's down at a school in the canteen.
Like, you know, and I'm a
bit... It really annoys me.
I'm a bit older than you might remember, Jay. You know, some of my heroes, in their spare time, they used to go out and drink 12 pints.
Thank you.
He looks after himself, as you just said there, Jay. He's
ticking every box just because he does that. But it's really kind of sad to see. I'm not even watching it like angry. It's just kind of like a sad thing.
At the ground, you feel it as well because I've been in, you know, I'm in the TRA, like in the middle of the sort of Stretford end. And I think it was a Brighton game, it might have been, where he was having a bit of a stinker.
Yeah.
And fans are getting angry and you can sense it. And I've got this knot in my stomach when he gets the ball. And I'm just thinking, just don't do anything bad. And I shouldn't be thinking that about a player who's so talented, like you say.
So it's interesting you say this. It might have been the same game. So where we sit, obviously he's a winger. He's been playing wide at the moment. So whichever half it was, he was on our side. And because he was having a bit of a stinker, one ball came over to him. And I'm not a United fan, but I want him to do well, the team's going to do well. And I thought he's going to miscontrol this. I was like, I hope he doesn't. Because you could see the whole, or you feel the whole stadium. Nah. Wait, and he didn't. Mm. And you're like, phew. But that was sort of like, wow, this guy is, you know, he's under a bit of pressure. And it's a bit of a sort of, becomes a bit of a vicious circle. He's playing bad-ish, so he plays worse. Because, you know what I mean? It's difficult to get out of.
I think as well, for me, with Marcus Rashford, no one really wants to have a conversation about confidence. You know what you say about players? Mm. People throw in the word attitude. People throw in the word distracted. People throw in the word laser.
Mm. Yes.
But very few people was, you know, say about confidence. Yeah. Like, a player can lose confidence. Definitely. You know, and some of the greatest players can lose a bit of confidence.
And I think going through what has happened, and there's been a couple of players, and I know that the Euros was a very long time ago, but there's been a couple of players from that England side that haven't been their
best this season. Definitely been a
few. You know, Kane, Maguire,
Shaw,
of course,
Luke Shaw earlier this season was all.
You know, obviously, like Sterling has still been, you know, brilliant for City, and Kyle Walker's been good, but obviously, you know, they're a bit different because they're in a team like, you know, City.
Yes,
but there have been a couple of players that have not been themselves, and I think you make a good point about like confidence, your mentally how you're feeling. To have gone through for Rashford to go through that Europa League final when he gave such that moving, you know, kind of speech, monologue afterwards, and then to go to the Euros and go through what he went through, not just on the pitch but off the pitch. You then have the surgery, you're thinking, right, I kind of want to redeem myself now, not only for like England fans to show that I'm still a good player, but for like Man United fans to kind of redeem myself. I think he has had so much pressure on him recently as Man United's poster boy. Mm. And maybe it has just got too much for him. And the expectation was he's coming back from this injury and he's going to be even better than he was, you know, previous seasons. And it's not quite clicked. And maybe that is affecting him. And I think that's why I look at it and I kind of feel more sad than angry about it.
How old is he now? 24? He's not any older, is he?
He turns 25 later this year.
Right.
I
think it's actually Halloween because I remember doing a piece on him.
Yeah.
But so he's 24 and a half. He could definitely still be absolutely amazing. I would just love to see it because he deserves it because he is a really nice guy and there's a lot to be said for that. But also, you look at him when he's good. How good is he to watch?
He's a lovely player to watch. He's had some good games against City. You know, he's got the physicality as well that you like to see as a fan. You know, he can shrug off defenders. I remember, I think it was a game a couple of seasons ago, they had him and Kyle Walker, who's one of the strongest players in the league, and he sent him flying. Yeah. And you're like, gets the crowd going. Yeah. You love all that.
Yes.
Christopher Matthews, even in the chat, chat says, hope Sancho does well on Sunday. It played for Man City's youth academy. That's his words, not mine, although I kind of agree with him. Never played at the Etihad. Also, Ruben Diaz wasn't cleared fit for Sunday.
Yes.
Just on the Sancho front, Jay, I'll ask you, getting a few question marks around him earlier on this season. Last few weeks, been, I think, well, I saw a poll and he was neck and neck, I think, with Elanga for player of the month. Mm. What have you made of Sancho?
Well, when you talk about Rashford, last week, I think I happened to ask him the question, he referenced Sancho, basically say where Rashford is at the moment is kind of where Sancho was, talking about,
yeah.
And then look at how good he's played since. Again, a lovely footballer. I mean, that for me was an amazing signing for you, with regard to you actually got a player who was 20, 21, who wasn't yet at his peak, and he'd chosen United, right? Mm. And considering you hadn't won the title for so long, and all the other problems at the club, that for me was like brilliant for you, because this star's coming at the start of his career, basically, more or less. And so it's going to attract other, hopefully, you know. So is he a good player? He's brilliant. I think, it's difficult to say, but he could end up being the best of that sort of forward line that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Alanga's an interesting case because, again, that's a Ranić sort of, he's brought him on. But, I'm pleased for him. The basic problem you've got is not rocket science. Is this season too many players have been average or not very good?
You're right.
And Sancho is one of those who's starting to become what he should be, but you need more, obviously. This is the problem. And it didn't happen last year, so that's why he came second. I know you were miles off, but I still thought, you've kind of gone backwards basically because of that. Maguire's had a bit of a stinky season. We could go through them all. Wan-Bissaka is in and out of the team. De Gea's doing really well, but it's never a good sign if your keeper's your best player. what I mean?
Yeah, so there's a bit of a debate going on with De Gea. I've noticed as well a lot of people sort of debating his value in terms of distribution and all that sort of stuff.
I don't know what
shot
you
stopping
two think, but my problem is he doesn't like really command the air.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying it because that's what people, I watch him obviously, and I'm like, come on, you've got to go.
I've noticed a lot of people talking about that. Matt Moss, thanks for your super chat, but I'll get in trouble if I say that. And what have you made of Sancho? Because you sort of championing him for ages, where you knew what he'd done at Dortmund, and I don't think you were particularly worried when he didn't hit the ground running.
No, I wasn't.
Seen him better over the last few weeks.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I unfortunately, because of pandemic stuff, I didn't get to make the trip to Dortmund. It was on my to-do list, but it didn't happen. But obviously, being in Germany, being around German football a lot more, it was great watching him, and I've always been a big fan of his. And I think, it was kind of it sweetened the deal that he'd gone to City and then went to Dortmund. And like you say, actually chose Man United. It was such a nice feeling. I think 100%. And I think it was I think it was Steve that said on the channel maybe last season when we were talking about Sancho, and he was saying, he's proven at Dortmund, he's not just a flash in the pan. He's been, consistent over the last season or two and stuff. And obviously, playing alongside people like Haaland and stuff, it's been great watching him. But yeah, I was buzzing when we got him. And I think he's still, just because somebody has a bit of a dodgy time, and also it's, adapting to, a different league. So many, we seem to think that these footballers are just like superheroes, that you can just uproot your life and move somewhere and have to get on with all these different things, and it shouldn't affect you in your job or something. And it's just I've lived in different countries. It's hard. Yeah. Not that I'm making excuses, but there have been some teething issues, but I was never too worried. I always thought that it was going to come good. And I think if he can finish this season, really strongly, and it's kind of sad, isn't it? You're already looking ahead to next season. You just want this season to be done. But there's a lot of so much potential.
You might still win the Champions League.
Stranger things have happened.
Listen,
who knows?
It's football.
Liverpool 2005, Chelsea 2012, was it?
It's literally, you've got to win a couple of games, really, on paper. You just got to show up for a few games.
No, I hear what you're saying. And I think, Sancho doesn't get enough credit sometimes, taking the plunge. Going to Dortmund in the first place.
Yeah.
Going to Germany, could have, stuck around at City, picked up trophies, being a fringe player.
Guardiola was gagging for him to stay.
Yeah.
I think he felt a little bit nose out of joint because I happened to be on that tour, summer tour, and he thought he was going to go to it, and he refused, and that's when he then went off to Dortmund. I mean, he was in two Bundesliga teams the year out of 3 years he was there, I think. So
that's what I mean. And then obviously, like you're saying, coming back to United, I mean, everyone knows you're not guaranteed success at United. You're not going, I'm going to go there and win the title.
Yeah.
You're going to have a bit of a fight in your hands. But he's done that, and all at a young age as well. So I'm enjoying watching him. I think he's he reminds me a bit of an old school United player, going past defenders, wanting the ball, running.
You're excited when you're watching him. Like the last couple of weeks.
We've missed that.
You're looking at him thinking, you have got potential to create something here. And it's been a while since you've looked at quite a couple of players in the team and thought, you've got that. Yeah. So,
And hopefully, you know, he'll have. I don't know, it's some piece that you've got a point to prove or whatever. He'll want to do well anyway, won't he? Because it's a big game. He'll want to do well anyway. There's a little bit of added extra, the fact that he was at City. So hopefully he can, you know, he can turn up on the Etihad. Because I felt so sorry for him in the City game at Old Trafford. I think we were 2-0 down at half time. He comes on. We barely got any of the ball. Everyone else is more or less given up. And it became almost like a game where, and I hate to say this because it's City, do you know what I mean? And it should never be the case. But it was almost, for me, felt like the United players were almost like, 2-0 is respectable to lose this game 2-0.
Let's just hold it together for as long as we can.
And the City players were like, we've won this, we're all right. And it became a bit of a stalemate. And he was trying, but he was hardly getting anywhere. He wasn't getting a lot of the ball.
And no one else was trying, so he's just running
around
on his own.
I just felt a bit like, that's the worst, you know, bringing him on at half time 2-0 down against City.
A lot on his shoulders as well. Like, make something happen.
Go and get us an hat-trick and win us a game. Come on. It was, he was on a bit of a
high. Saving it for this weekend, that's why.
Yeah, that's the spirit. Rangnick, in fact, I wanted to ask you something, Jay. Someone was in the comments asking about, I don't know if you've heard anything about this. Do you think there is an issue with Maguire? We're hearing these stories, rumours, reports that players are unhappy. That, I mean, it just seems to me there's a Maguire story every day.
So this is what I'm going to say about this, right? I would never, ever disrespect someone else's story if they've reported that. I've not heard that, but that doesn't mean at all that it's not true. I don't think it's any secret that he I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think he's good enough to be in your team.
Okay.
Maybe at the moment he is, but what I'm saying is, I think he makes too many mistakes, and over a number of seasons, last year actually was probably his best. So I wouldn't be surprised if some. I haven't heard that, but as I say, if people are reporting it, they will be well sourced stories. Again. You know, I said before that central midfield, I think, is your biggest weakness. But I think centre-back, you need at least one more player.
It's just, I mean...
There, you know, proper player.
I've always defended Maguire, stuck with Maguire. I think he gets a little bit undue stick. It's not his fault we overspent on him, because we did massively.
Of course
it's
not,
he doesn't choose the fee. He was never an £80 million defender. And I agree, last season I thought he played well. I think we missed him when he got injured. We missed him for the end of the season. But if I was to choose my strongest centre-back pairing, he wouldn't be in it. I'd have Lindelof over
changed a little bit on Lindelof. I think he's got a bit of class about it.
I agree.
And actually, I put, maybe it's a coincidence, but I put it down to Rangnick a little bit. A little bit like we talk about Sancho, just bringing, you know, Langer bringing it out of him. I think him and Varane look class at times. What I'd say about Maguire is sometimes I think I've got it wrong. He's really good. I think he's got it in him, but lack of consistency. Because basically, if you're saying someone's not consistent, it means you're making mistakes that can cost goals and points. It can happen once or twice, but it shouldn't be happening all the time. If you are Manchester United level, the captain, leading, you know, you just shouldn't be.
That's the thing with Lindelof. I mean, I don't think he's necessarily setting the world alight. I don't mean that in a disrespect to him, but he doesn't tend to make many mistakes. No. And I think he's just a bit steady. And at the time, we could do with players like that, because we've got players who aren't steady and who are making mistakes and who are costing his goal.
He was a year or two ahead of Diaz at Benfica, and it was always Lindelof who they fancied. The Diaz thing, how good he's been at City, has been a bit of a surprise to people there when I was just doing a little story on Diaz. So Lindelof was always considered, if you've got a United, Mourinho signs you, you've got to be a brilliant footballer. And I think this season, maybe he's benefited from the competition. You know, that's the whole idea. You bring in Varane, right? What have you got, sort of thing? You know, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think you need... Going back to Sancho, I love that he's there. But for me, if you had £75 million to spend in the summer or a little bit more on top of that, I would have spent it on Declan Rice or someone like that. Because I think that is where Solskjaer made a mistake. Now, I know it's old news, but, you know.
It's not... Yeah. Do you know what as well, Jay? And I think... I look back to that summer where we got Cavani and we got Van der Beek, whatever went on there, I don't know, but it just seemed like Ollie didn't fancy him or didn't want
talking to people, their players thought he was good enough to be in the team. I don't know what happened. That's really odd. Yeah, sorry.
No, you're right. And, you know, there was that. There was Diallo and Palestri, and I think add-ons and things like that inflate the price. But we spent around £50 million on the pair of them or whatever.
Yes.
So you're looking at that, and Van der Beek is like at least £80 million quid. Now, listen, Diallo and Palestri and even Van der Beek might go on to become the greatest players we've ever seen. But Ollie needed a DM, and he's not here anymore. And I felt like that summer, if we'd have gone out and got I don't know whoever was available. Maybe it could have been Declan Rice back then even. Mm. Gone and got a DM. It could have been a different story for all. And it was a bit mad to me. Even, I don't know, I hate to say this because he went to Arsenal, but even a party for 50 million who can do a job, but we just seem to ignore it. And I just felt like it's always been an issue for us. And now we're having the same conversation now you're saying about, you know, Declan Rice or whatever. And we've been saying this for
I don't know where you think Pogba's best position is, but for me, he's not really a central midfielder. So if you take him out of the equation, I don't think you've signed a good enough one since Carrick, 2006.
No,
I would agree. Yeah.
16 years ago.
When's the last Manchester time United. We had a midfielder who was someone who, you know, you can argue about Matic, but we got him probably too late.
Yeah.
He's 29, I think we signed him just before his 30th birthday. You know, or he's 29 until he's 30. So, you know, he's done okay, but I don't think you can rely on him week in, week out. And we tend to go with the McFred axis. What do you think, Ange? What do you think of the midfield situation? Do you think that's got to be priority in the summer?
100%. I mean, when we bought Van der Beek, and obviously it was a lovely story of Van der Sar saying, oh, look after him, which they've not actually done. it's a hot mess. The entire thing is a hot mess.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe that's part of why I would like Ten Hag at the club, because it's like, you show me what you did with this guy.
Good point, yeah.
And show me what this guy can do, because we've got him now. I mean, obviously he's on loan. I guess we'll see what happens in the summer, but I would be very curious.
There's a thing about, he's not really a central midfielder, right? I did a piece on him. I looked up his stats. The vast majority of his appearances for Ajax and Holland have been in central midfield. Yeah. He has played attacking midfield. Don't get me wrong. He's played wide left, but he was a central midfielder. And Solskjaer was quoted when he signed him saying he's going to add to our midfield technical. And as I say, talking to a couple of people who are at the training ground, the players fancied, they're a little bit puzzled. You know, why was he never given a chance? I haven't got a clue why.
It does seem a little bit baffling. And you know, and I think he did an interview. I think he's on Real Ferdinand's channel, and Steve, who's on his channel, was on it as well, did an interview. And I think he said, I've played in midfield. I've played, you know, as a six. I've played as an eight. I can play there. And it was almost like it was a message for Ollie, who was manager at the time, to sort of say, look, you know,
I can play in these positions.
Yeah, which I think obviously Ollie must see that. And it always baffled me, because I think you've got likes of, you know, you had Michael Carrick there, who knows about midfield, and you think, I'm just looking at him thinking, you know, is there a play there? And it was the big argument with Van der Beek was it the fact that he wasn't getting enough games that was the issue, or was he not good enough to get those games?
Well, you know, chicken egg, yeah. But you make a good point about Carrick. I mean, if anyone should, you know, if he's advising Solskjaer, obviously Solskjaer knows a player as well, but if he's saying, look, I don't really, fair enough, because he knows his stuff. That's but it's just, I don't think he ever got a fair run. Give him five games if he can on the bounce, and let's see.
Yeah, listen, I would have welcomed that, even if it would have been five, you know, train wrecks. At least we've done it and we've tried. Do you know what I mean? Well,
why buy him otherwise?
Yeah,
I mean, he was our marquee signing, really, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was
that year. Because so many different clubs were after him as well. And again, it was a situation where, you know, I don't know what the situation with Van der Sar, but again, that's somebody who he's been, you know, spoken to about, this is a really good fit, this is a really good place. He's chosen to go to United, and I do feel sorry for him, and it does annoy me that the club have kind of treated him that way.
What they've said is the reason why they didn't sell him this January is because whoever comes in as a permanent, they want to give that person, whoever it is, might be Ten Hag, a chance to have a look at Van. Yeah. You know? So maybe there'll be a revival there, I don't know.
I'm hoping so. If it is him, then that's the main thing I'm going to be watching.
It'd be hilarious if he comes in and he don't play him. Like, Ten Hag turns up and says, you know what, I don't fancy him.
Like, you know what, I actually didn't like him at Ajax.
I can't wait to get rid of him.
Yeah, that's why I got rid of him, yeah.
That'll be awkward. just on the signings front, going back to the press conference, Rangnick was asked about how United can identify players to sign without knowing the next manager. He sort of said, we haven't spoken about that. I'm the wrong person to address the question. I'm here to focus on the team. We can speak about it, but we've not had the time or opportunity yet.
It's a sort of chicken egg thing, this, isn't it? Yeah. Because you need a manager to sign the players, but how are the players really going to come if you don't know who the manager is, right?
Yeah.
And to be honest, I've noticed with Rangnick's press conferences, I think he's become a little bit more circumspect, because I know it's a slightly different sort of topic, but you know what he said about Martial not travelling? Who was the other player?
The Lingard, there was an issue with.
It was Lingard as well.
Yeah, do you remember?
So what he did today, and I've not really noticed him do this as much, and he was still gave some good answers, but there was a lot of, I don't know, I'm not really... And I know on the one hand, I know you're going to say that to try and defend the club, but you are going to be a consultant. You know, you're supposed to be after the end of this season. Mm. He basically said, we had one meeting, a meeting with scouts. I don't want to divulge that, what we're talking about, but in terms of players, I haven't really spoken about it. But I just, you know, they if you actually take him at face value, which is supposed to be after, it's basically saying you're out of the loop while
you know, the brains trust the football people, John Murta, which you're supposed to be part of, you know, are going around, you know, sort of try to identify players and get them in. And they will be doing that. But this is why he was asked. It's a bit of a vacuum, this. This shouldn't really be happening because he kept around to say, I don't know. Yeah, you know, I'm not really the person to ask. But it's like, well...
Who is?
Well, exactly, to a certain extent. That's the point. There isn't someone there to ask because they've got a permanent manager.
It feels like this has happened at United. If you sign, like, I remember...
Defo.
You know, the Ander Herrera issue. You remember, we were trying to get in before Van Gaal ever arrived. And then at one point, there was this sort of one of the imposters trying to sign him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and we got him... Eventually, and it was like when Van Gaal arrived, but he couldn't have been a Van Gaal signing if we were trying to get him before Van Gaal was
quick
there.
Quick little plug here, but biography of Solskjaer. What happened with Herrera was when he came in, so Herrera one year got your player of the year. I don't know if it was the fans player or.
Yeah, I think he won fans player, and I think it might have been the season.
Cut a long story short,
League,
Woodward had been sort of, about a new contract. Herrera wanted to stay. Didn't come. And then from what I got told, he finally got. Solskjaer comes in and he finally got sent like that, and you often, it came through the post. It wasn't done in a very sort of,
carrier pigeon.
Warm way.
Smoke signal. Send the Ravens to Winterfell.
By that time, he was sort of cheesed off.
Yeah.
That he said, oh, well, I'm off kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, that's what I got told from people who should know about it. So again, not the greatest sort of.
No, it's not. It just seems a bit shambolic, you know, and that's keeping a player who's done a job and who I think we should.
Solskjaer wanted him.
Yeah, if your manager wants him, you know, we should be able to, not being funny, we should be able to hold on to Ander Herrera. We're not talking about 25-year-old Cristiano Ronaldo here. Do you know what I mean? You're talking about a player who, you know,
probably won't get in
City or Liverpool's team.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, we can't even keep him, and that is embarrassing. And then with the signings as well, you know, Ragnick's not making the signings for the next manager and the scouting network is or whatever. And you think, well, who are making this?
Is it Murta, basically. Yeah.
And that is a little bit disconcerting because if you don't know who the manager is, like, how does that? How does that?
Chicken
make
egg,
sense?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes clubs can make signings knowing a manager's coming in. I think City maybe did that a little bit with the likes of De Bruyne and Sterling.
This is why Ragnick said today, Liverpool and City are what we've got to be more like because you've got a manager has a clear idea and everything revolves around that. You know, it's not rocket science, really, is it? You know, this is our manager. He wants to play this way, right? We'll get the players he wants. We'll stick with it.
Yeah.
There's going to be bumps, etc. And that's why it was a shame about Solskjaer because they did try and do that. Yeah, they really did try and stick with him. But I think the Watford thing, and you know, I don't know. I mean, I completely understand it. That was just one bad defeat too many. But so now you're having to start again, and it's like I don't know. I mean, who would you two want as a manager if you could, you know, realistic? I mean, it's difficult.
I'm not as au fait with sort of some of the football on the continent as I should be. From what I've seen of Ajax and Ten Hag, I've always been impressed. I've been impressed with him. I think with it, the difference between him and Pochettino, they seem to be the main two options. I think with Pochettino, it's almost like I know. He won't. I think he'll struggle to beat Klopp and Pep. Where with Ten Hag, I don't know whether he will.
Right.
Or not.
So therefore,
yeah.
It's a bit of an unknown. Entity,
I know that sounds ridiculous because he's not. But he might do for all I know. Whereas with Pochettino, I don't think he will.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to go from finishing second in the French league last season. I know he's probably going to win it this season, and you know, struggling a little bit to suddenly coming at United. United who are a difficult team and club to manage anyway. Up against Liverpool are absolutely flying, City are flying, Chelsea, who they've fallen off a little bit, but are still a very strong team. Yeah. And he's going to get us over the line to title challenges. I don't know, Ange, what do you think?
I'm definitely more Ten Hag, just because like I know that people will argue that, you know, Ajax are a smaller club, the Dutch league is smaller, but he still had success. And if you've got that kind of mentality in that you are breeding these players, I mean, we know that Ajax is this conveyor belt of young talent, but he is still getting the best out of, you know, look at Sebastian Haller at West Ham, that was a nightmare, wasn't it? Mm. Look at him at Ajax now, absolutely on fire. He's clearly able to take players that have maybe, you know, definitely, had a bit of a struggle and he's managed to transform them, and he's got these young players and he clearly is very good at, you know, getting them under his wing, helping develop them. I mean, I was talking to a few friends and I was saying, you know, look at, you know, Matthias De Ligt, Frankie de Jong, and someone was like, yeah, but Young's not even that good. I was like, what? What are you on about? I was like, you know, he's like the future of Barcelona.
He's lost a lot of players, hasn't he? Like, you say, like, you know,
but they have still managed to continue going.
Yeah, and he's kept going, and like you say, it's easy to be dismissive and go, oh, well, it's
the Dutch league or whatever. But they've done well in the Champions League as well. And, yeah, I just think there's I think that mentality of being able to win things year in, year out, whether it's for the best league in the world or maybe, you know, one of the lower ones in Europe, say, it's still that mentality, which I think is a good, surely a good energy to be around versus a Pochettino who's a bit like, I've not actually won anything. And fingers crossed, we're going to try and win something, because if not, I'm getting crucified. But
just to play devil's advocate, though.
And okay.
Because I've been, you know, I've nailed Michael Olsen and asked. There is an argument that Pochettino, working with Daniel Levy at Tottenham, at a time when Liverpool were going out and spending loads of money, City was spending money, United was spending money, he kept Spurs competitive without having a similar budget. Is that a case?
Definitely is a case. I mean, getting to a Champions League final for Spurs is you know, did brilliantly there. Yeah. I mean, he obviously had some very good players there, you know, sort of obviously Harry Kane. I don't know. This is why at the time I thought Conte was the best that you could get, because he was a proven winner. Mm. How many of these X Factor managers who you would fancy Conte, I think. I mean, he just did it, you know, was against City the other week. You would fancy Conte, I think, to go head-to-head with Klopp and Guardiola.
Yeah,
put another way around, if you're Guardiola and Klopp, who do you least want to see there? I don't think it's Pochettino, for example.
It is weird with Conte because, you know, how many managers are out there that have won the Premier League, for example? There's not a lot.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
They're still going properly.
They're still going, like, you know,
and
look
at their height, yeah.
Yeah, Pellegrini or, you know, whatever. That's not, you know, Wenger. There's some that are just not an option. But ones that have actually won it relatively recently, who still have had success other than that as well, which he has, are available. And also would command the respect to the dressing room, would get the fans on board straight away. And I feel like he has all that. And it is a bit strange that we sort of, I don't know, was it the timing? Because we seemed to wait until he was too late, didn't we?
Well, no, it wasn't that. He wanted to go. Yeah. He was gagging to go there, to United, and they didn't want him. It's as simple as that. And then he went to Spurs.
We've got a couple of, I mean, it's just Manchester United, man. You're lucky you don't support us. You just do it objectively.
I am.
Honestly, I used to have a full head of hair. Abdullah Ibrahim, who's a friend of the channel, says, "Hi, Jamie. It's nice to see you on the paddock. I want to ask you if you have insight on Woodward's consultancy, in commas, role. Is he in charge but masquerading under a false title, or is he out of the club?" There you go. It was a bit of a conspiracy theory for you to get your teeth into there, Jay.
As far as I know, he certainly is at the moment. Got no sort of material input. Whether he will do in time, I actually don't know. I mean, you know, you've got Richard Arnold there, and then you've got, who's obviously succeeded him, and you've got Joe Murta, and you've got Rangnick in theory. You don't want too many. I mean, he's a very, 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 as we all know, and I know this is not what fans want, I completely get it, but he's a very, very good moneymaker, Woodward, so I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back at some point in that capacity. But he was never really involved. One of his biggest mistakes was not sort of saying at the start, look, I'm great at business, that's why I'm doing this job, but I'm employing person X to do all the football. He should have done that. So there's no way he'll come back in a football capacity, because he was never really there with regard to that. I mean, you know, you don't need me to tell you this necessarily, but the real top guy at United in terms of power is Joe Glazer. He's the one who, you know, day to day, he's in touch. He runs it basically from America. He doesn't run it on the ground, obviously, but, you know, Arnold will speak to him, if not every day, most days of the week, you know, several times like Woodward did. You know, he is the main man. I mean, you know, I like Woodward, but you've got to say Woodward, Joe Glazer, they messed up over the last 10 years. They employed four permanent number ones who weren't good enough, really. And that for me is your bit, you know, but this is what we're talking about. You need a Klopp, I know you don't want to hear it, but you need these top people. Yeah.
There's video evidence of us saying many years ago when he was at Dortmund, someone like Klopp.
Well, yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean?
You don't win consecutive Bundesligas at Dortmund, you know, overturning Bayern Munich. And, you know, you've got to know what you're doing.
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, it's easy to point the finger at City and go and Chelsea and even Liverpool go, they spent a lot of money, but we have as well.
Yeah,
we've spent money, and that's the thing. And, you know,
I did the maths. Over the last 10 years, it's at least 1.1 billion. I know you sold some players, but that's what you spent on players. That's not inconsiderable.
Post Fergie, to not have a real title challenge, it's just deflating, isn't it? Because, you know, yes, we finished second a couple of times, but no chance, 19 though, points behind City. 12,
there's never been a season where you know, like back in the day when you were looking at the table at the points and calculating and thinking it's going to happen.
You tell me, because you're the fans, but obviously you want to win it, but the very least you want is to, this is exciting.
You want a good run. You want it to be an enjoyable
January,
season.
Last season,
yes.
I think it was about to the end of January.
Maybe
Everton draw was where we went, all right, this isn't happening. But we were in it. Yes. We were top at one point, and you think, hang on a minute.
That's the closest
could
it's
this,
come.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just that little bit. I remember saying, I did the thing on the radio, I was like, if Paul Pogba doesn't get injured, Eric Bailly, funnily enough, was playing out on fire. I was like, them two don't get injured, and we carry on playing the way we're playing, we'll be all right. And then a week later, we're both out for
so
like.
So you cursed it, it's your fault.
It's his fault.
You're the reason.
It's all my fault.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
You're worse than Woodward.
I am worse than Woodward. It's official. You have met people in the comments now. Agreeing with you, Jay. Yeah. Andrew Naker says, Ralph said that it's easier to mould younger players into what you want and need from them. Would Ten Hag not struggle more with our squad? Perhaps it's actually easier for him at Ajax Youth. Angel, ask you that one. Do you agree with that?
What, is it easier to mould younger players?
Yeah, perhaps it's actually easier for him at Ajax.
Of course it's easier to mould a younger player with less experience.
I mean, we've got to say, though, let's not forget. I know.
But Haller's not young.
And we've got good young players at United. Mm. Like, you know.
Elanga.
James Garner's over, he's a little bit older. Yeah, but you look at Charlie McNeil, who's a phenomenal talent. Hannibal Medjbury, quality player. You've got others who... you know, who look like they've got a bright future. The likes of Ted Mengi, Ethan Laird, maybe could be thrown in there Zidane Iqbal. There's a good crop of young players.
But you
at
would
Old
look at Ten Hag and think you have the CV at least to I trust you with these players. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, of course, it's like it's easier to
sack
Motti,
Jay out now. Thanks for that, Jay.
Motti
out. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's because you didn't ask me on for 5 years.
Yeah, he's waiting.
That's
the end. He's
gone.
Right, it's official. Motti's worse than Woodward. It's all his fault. DB Cooper says, "Hello, Jay. Could you please ask Ange if she could use her connections with Gucci to buy out the Glazers?"
Not a big ask, is it?
I should have commented earlier. We've had quite a lot of comments about your attire, Ange.
Why?
Complimenting you.
Thank you. It was a gift. I did not buy it myself. I do not have the money to be buying Gucci jumpers.
She moves away from Salford and she thinks she's on diamond.
Listen, I'll do what I can. Listen, if me selling this jumper meant that United would have some kind of good luck, I'd do it. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm sorry, but no, I don't have those kind of connections.
Before we wrap up, Jay, what are you up to? What's happening with you? Is anything going down? Any more books coming out here? Well, Season in the Red.
I won't bore you too much, but I've got a couple of novels that I'm editing out at publishers. But I'm going to the Derby on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. And as I'm on here, I hope you do well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was sincere as well, so I do appreciate it. Ange, what's going down with TalkSport Edge? What's going on there?
Just busy, yeah. Making the move down to the Big Smoke officially, disgusting. Abandoning you, nice. Jay. I'm sorry.
I got a nosebleed when I moved from Earlham to Eccles. So
can you imagine what's
going to
go down?
Going all the way back there, London. Horrible.
I know.
But why would anyone want to do that?
I know. But all good. Yeah. Obviously, I actually spoke to you for TalkSport Edge about the Derby. We had a good chat, didn't we?
What about you, Jay? What's going on for you?
Me, I'm just sitting in this chair with this same
top. The same club.
He actually lives under this table.
People, different people just come and join me now and again. So it's whether you guys or Howson or Macca.
He's actually stapled
or Joe.
To the chair
and
just like throws it over.
If my kids are watching, Daddy loves you and I'll see you. I'll see you soon. So yeah, I'll be here anyway for the Derby. I think it's myself, Joe and Abdullah. We're going to be doing the watch along, so make sure you check it out. Make sure you check out James Jackson at The Guardian. Make sure you check out Angelina at TalkSport Edge. Do subscribe to the channel as well. This has been The Brew. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.